Okay, welcome everybody. Part three of our series and on conversion, as you know, welcome. And today, Reb Moshe Feinstein, the greatest posek, I think, the greatest halakhic authority who ever stepped shore on this foot, this part of the Atlantic. Rabbi Mintz, you would agree with that?
I would agree with that.
So, and let's hear what Reb Moshe had to say about conversion. Bakasha, Rabbi Mintz.
Great. Thank you very much, Rabbi Kelman. Welcome everybody for those Torontonians. Hope you're enjoying the snow. We have just to review in 15 seconds where we're up to. The first class, we talked about Rabbi Elohi in New Orleans in 1864, where the intermarriage rate was 50%, and he was afraid that if he allowed the circumcision of an intermarried couple, that that would encourage intermarriage. Then we had a discussion from 1922, Rabbi Samuel Yalow, from Syracuse. And then the conversion rate was less than 5%. They were much less concerned about encouraging intermarriage. And what we saw last week was a tendency to be lenient about a man who marries a non-Jewish woman and she wants to convert, even though she won't be Orthodox, but nevertheless, they allowed her to convert. Now I want to, as we continue this journey through the 20th century, I want to look now at the mid-century. And I really consider mid-century from more or less 1930 to 1975. Now, the intermarriage rate in 1920 is around 5%, he said. By 1950, it's double that number. It's 10%. Now, you might say 10%. I mean, we pray for a 10% intermarriage rate in North America today. Halavai, we should reach a point where there's a 10% intermarriage rate. But you understand that if you go from 5% to 10%, then 10% is a crisis. That's a very important point. So in 1950, when they talk about a 10% intermarriage rate, if you look at the Jewish magazines, the Jewish publications from the 1950s, they're worried about intermarriage. They're concerned. And by 1972, that number's at 32%. So you see the jump. Next week, just a kind of a PR for next week, we'll talk about the 80s and 90s when the number is over 50%, and we'll see how they deal with that. But that's what we're talking about. Reb Moshe Feinstein, born in 1895 in White Russia, is a rabbi in Lithuania, White Russia. In those days, White Russia was just another name for Lithuania, at least culturally within the Jewish world. Reb Moshe Feinstein was the greatest Lithuanian posek of the 20th century. In 1937, he moves to America, and he becomes the Rosh Yeshiva of Mesivta Tiferes Yerushalayim on the Lower East Side. And he becomes the posek. Exactly when he became the posek and how he related to Rabbi Henkin, who was before him, is a topic that I know that on Torah in Motion they've talked about many a time. So we'll leave that. But Reb Moshe Feinstein comes in 1937. He dies in 1986. So for 49 years, he is the posek of America. And what I want to look at today, that's a long time, by the way. Let's just pause for a second. That's a long time. 1937 to 1986. That's a jump in the intermarriage rate between 5 and 10% to over 32%. So that's a huge rate of intermarriage. What we need to see is how does Reb Moshe Feinstein react to that? And how is that reflected in his tshuvos about intermarriage? Now, I want to say that in most of the literature that you read about Reb Moshe Feinstein or about any posek, most Orthodox historians are hesitant to try to trace an evolution in their thought. You know, the thinking always is that Reb Moshe Feinstein's above politics. Reb Moshe Feinstein's above cultural changes. Reb Moshe Feinstein tells you what the halacha is. So therefore, the Reb Moshe Feinstein of 1937 is the same Reb Moshe Feinstein as 1985. I just want to start by saying that we all know that that's not true. We all know that's not true. Ramosha Feinstein is answering a question in 1937, as per the Jewish community in America in 1937. And in 1970, as per the Jewish community in 1970, and 1985, as per the Jewish community in 1985. Now, whether or not we can see that reflected in his words, we'll study together. But in principle, that's got to be true. So therefore, the Ramosha Feinstein dealing with intermarriage, with conversion, with all these issues, we're going to see an evolution in the thinking of Ramosha Feinstein. And that's what I want to do with you today. What I really want to do is I want to tell a story. And it's the story of intermarriage / conversion in America in the mid 20th century. And I want to tell that story through the lens of the tshuvos of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Join me in this journey. Let's get going. 1 second. Share. Okay. The first tshuva is a tshuva, Zayin Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Tuf Reish Peites. Luban. Now, Tuf Reish Peites, 1929. Rav Moshe Feinstein is not yet in America. So we start this journey in a little town in White Russia called Luban, where Rav Moshe Feinstein was the rabbi. And he writes a letter, Malas Kvod Yedidi Harav Agon HaMeforsam Rav Shimon Trabnik Shlita Hagon HaBezdin Hariyatz. Okay? He was a Rav in a small town in Lithuania. And he answers, the Rav Moshe Feinstein answers the question. Bameh shenistapek kvo toraso harav. That which you were uncertain. Im ger shelo kibel olav mitzvos. Im nechshav ger. So he asks our question. A convert who does not accept the mitzvos, is he considered a convert? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, 1929, Luban, Pashut Ubarur She'eno Ger Klal Afbidyevet. Boom! It is clear that he is not a convert, means he's not a Jew, even Bidyevet, even, you know, second rate, meaning that he's not a Jew at all. V'chein hora abamari hagon zecher tzadik l'vracha. And my father, Rav Moshe says, his father's name was David, was David Feinstein. He agrees with me that he's not a Jew. My father said, halacha l'maseh b'shtrabin. He was a rabbi in a place called Shtrabin. Be'uvda kazu she'eno ger klal. Bein l'kula ben l'chumra. What does it mean, bein l'kula ben l'chumra, for stringencies and for leniencies? You know, being a Jew, so you say, if you're a Jew, you count for a minyan. And if you're not a Jew, you don't count for a minyan, right? So it's l'chumra. We're going to be strict. We won't count him for a minyan. But l'kula, meaning, if this person is married to a Jew, they wouldn't need a get afterwards because they're not considered Jewish. So Bei Lekula Ben Lechumra, it doesn't matter whether it makes it easier or it makes it more difficult, the person is not a Jew. Shekabalas mitzvos beger ma'ake. Because accepting the mitzvos for a convert is required. Kedisa b'yaredeya simen reish tamaches tuf tzivkim. Okay? That's the halacha. Rav Moshe Feinstein says in 1929 that a convert who does not accept the mitzvos is not a Jew at all. And he quotes his father as saying this as well. And basically, it's like he's saying, and in case you don't get it, I'm going to make this point even stronger. He says, even if he says, right, before he goes into the mikvah, she goes into the mikvah, she says, I accept the mitzvos. Im anan sade, If we are witnesses, doesn't mean that we see it, but it means we know. Sheino mekabel alav be'emes eno klum. If we know that he doesn't accept the mitzvos be'emes, honestly, authentically, eno klum. V'ger shemahani l'shemishus b'di'evet. He said, last week we learned the Gemara in Yevamos. It says that a ger who converts for the sake of a woman, so b'di'evet, the gerus is good. So why don't we say here that b'di'evet, the gerus is good? He says, that's a different case. That's because he was so much in love that he accepted the mitzvos for his girlfriend. That's okay, he accepted the mitzvos. But it's clear that if he doesn't accept the mitzvos, or we're on Sade, we know that he's not observant or she's not observant, but who borrow or push it, it's obvious. And all of this, my father said when he gave the psak. And now he goes on with a little social commentary. Again, Lithuania, White Russia. Uvichlau, eini yodeya tam harabanim hatoim bazeh. I don't understand the reason for the rabbis who make this mistake. By the way, that's interesting. You see, there was some conversion going on in White Russia. He's talking about rabbis who are converting these kinds of people. The afli ditu al kopanim eze toeles hey mivin bazel l'chlal Yisrael. What benefit are they bringing to the Jewish people? Shemekablim geirim ko'elu, that they accept these kinds of converts. And look what he says in this next line. Divadai lo nichale lahakadosh baruch hu ulam Yisrael sheyisaruvu geirim ko'elu v'Yisrael. Because obviously, it's not good for God and it's not good for the people that these kinds of geirim should join the Jewish people. So there he's making a societal comment about these rabbis, and he's making a theological comment that lo nichalei lakadosh baruch hu l'am Yisrael sheyisaruvu geirim ko'elu v'Yisrael. Uledina pashut shein zeger klal. And again, in case you missed it, what he said in this whole paragraph is, clearly these people are not Jewish. Yedido Moshe Feinstein. Okay, that's what he says. Sorry. Okay. So, what do we have here? So Rav Moshe's first tshuva, he hasn't even come to America yet, but as we'll see in a minute, everything that he writes in America is with this in mind, with this tshuva and his father's psak in mind. And that is that a person who does not accept the mitzvos, or even someone who accepts the mitzvos, but we are on Ansade, we can argue that they haven't kept any of the mitzvos, is not a Jew. Not a Jew to count for a minyan, and not a Jew that their wife or husband doesn't need to get. They are not Jewish. And then he says that I don't know what anybody gains. I don't know what God gains. I don't know what the Jewish people gain, because clearly they don't do any good for the Jewish people. Okay, that's a pretty strong comment. But they don't do any good for the Jewish people by joining the Jewish people. Okay. Take 1 minute. Any reaction to this tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein? I want to just put this all in context, because we're going to see a shift in Rav Moshe. But I just want to get your sense. Any very quick comment? Okay, we'll go on to the next tshuva. The next tshuva.
Now, I do think it's interesting that Rav Moshe's father projected what God's attitude to these people.
That's very interesting. Correct. I agree with you. That is interesting. Next tshuva. Dalid Adar Tufshin Yud. Tufshin Yud, everybody, what year? 1950. Malas Kvod Yedidi Hagrav Hadol Rav Nachman Yosef Goldstein Shlita Shalom Uvracha. Okay? So he writes a tshuva. The tshuva is about whether or not you need rabbis on the Beis Din, or whether regular people are allowed to be on the Beis Din, regular men are allowed to be on the Beis Din. So he starts that way. But then he goes on. Ach bichlal, now he goes to the whole discussion whether they have to be rabbis or not. Then he has like a kind of an editorial comment at the end. Ach bichlal ikar hagerus lo nochedati mizeh. This whole kind of gerus, which clearly is gerus that where the people are not really orthodox, I don't feel comfortable. Vani nimna mizeh. And I don't get involved in these kinds of conversions. Lo rak mitzad hadin. Not only halachically, shein mekablim lechatchila bishvilishus. Not only the fact that we know the Gemara says that preferably you shouldn't accept these converts if they all they want to do is get married. Elagami tam shehu kimat barur ke'anan sade. It goes back to his point that he made in 1929, that it's clear, it's almost absolutely clear that she doesn't accept the mitzvos. Virak befiha omeres shemekabelas. And she just says it, in, she mouths the words. She doesn't mean it. Uvilo kabalas mitzvos. Af rak prat echad. Even if they just leave out one detail in the mitzvos, ha-mefurash b'b'choros taflamed, shein mekablin osa, you don't accept that. V'lo dummy, he says. So far, he just says what he said before. V'lo dummy. L'had de Shabbos stop sameches, the Gemara in Shabbos. D'ger shidiskayer lebein ha-umos. What about someone who converts? They accept the commandments, they convert, but they live among the idolaters. And he doesn't know anything about Shabbos, and he doesn't even know that Avodah Zarah is not allowed. Yeah, the Gemara in Shabbos says that he's a ger. Mishum dahasam kibel komash shechayavim b'nei Yisrael. He says there he accepts the mitzvos. He doesn't know all the mitzvos, but he accepts the mitzvos as Jews are required to accept the mitzvos. Hevya Kabbalah Tova al Kol HaTorah. It is considered to be a good acceptance of the mitzvos. Absalom Yada Hadinim Klal, even though he doesn't know very much. Uchmo b'chol ger ein tzarech shiyodi uhu kol ha-mitzvos. Uve the Yevet Sagi b'lo hodah klal. Says he, it's a funny kind of acceptance. He accepts the mitzvos that Jews are obligated in, even though he doesn't exactly know what those mitzvos are. Skip down to the highlighted. Ach mikol makom, ulai giyorezu tekabel hamitzvos. However, even though we don't accept these gerim, because they don't really accept the mitzvos, so she's just mouthing the words. But it's possible that this convert tekabel hamitzvos, that she will accept the mitzvos. V'lachein eini omer bazeklum. Meaning, the idea that we know she won't accept the mitzvos, even if that's the majority of the cases, it's always possible that she will accept the mitzvos. V'lachein eini omer bazeklum lichvot tarasa harav. Therefore, I'm not going to tell you that you can't do it. Ki yesh, this is the key line. Ki yesh harbe rabbanim in New York, mekablin gerim ka'il. There are many rabbis in New York who accept these kinds of gerim who are not religious. Umimela eli lomar baze isurim. And because so many rabbis do it, I don't want to say that it's prohibited. Avalani ein dati noche. I don't feel comfortable with it. Vigamdas abba. Avi Hagon Zatzal Lohaya no Father. And my father didn't like it either, as we saw before. Avalo Amina Isurim Bazeh. I'm not gonna say prohibitions. Ukfotarasa Rab Yasek if you have a naso vidato ukifiadoka. And you rabbis should do as you understand it and according to what is necessary. Now that is a remarkable shift from what we saw earlier. Initially, what did we see in the first tshuva from 1929 in Luban? Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to say clearly that someone who doesn't accept the mitzvos is not a ger. And I don't even know why you would want to do this, because God and the Jewish people, they don't gain anything by having these people as part of the Jewish people. In 1950, he really repeats the same feeling that he doesn't like these conversions and his father didn't like these conversions. But all of a sudden, he admits that you never know. And what he really admits is that there are many rabbis who are doing these kinds of conversions. And because there are many rabbis who are doing these kinds of conversions, he doesn't feel comfortable saying that they're not allowed. I'm not going to say isurim. I'm not going to say that it's awesome. I don't like them. I wouldn't do them. But I'm not going to say they're awesome. Because finally, okay, sorry. Fall of 1929, that's 1928, that's correct, okay. So I'm not going to say that it's usur. And you, Rabbi, you need to make a decision on your own. Now that's a fantastic move on the part of Moshe Feinstein. He doesn't change his view, but in 1928, it doesn't seem as if he's sensitive to the fact that there's another view. By 1950, he already recognizes that there is another view, that there are rabbis, and he doesn't say bad rabbis, that there are rabbis who are doing these types of conversions, right? There are rabbis who are doing these kinds of conversions, and therefore I'm not going to say bad things about it. There are a few interesting points, and I'll look at the chat and see the comments. Point number one is, the move for Rav Moshe Feinstein from Lithuania to the Lower East Side. Right? In Lithuania, clearly in the Tshuva from 1928, there were rabbis who were doing these conversions, because he said that they're toed, that they make a mistake, unless he's talking about an intellectual mistake. But by 1950, he comes to the United States, and this is obviously something that's going on. And the question is, how is he going to deal with it? And he's willing to say that there are rabbis who are doing these things, and therefore I'm not gonna express prohibitions. Now, another interesting thing here is 1950. What does orthodoxy in America look like in 1950? Especially Rav Moshe Feinstein orthodoxy, what we would call yeshivish orthodoxy, Haredi orthodoxy. Right after the Second World War, orthodoxy is weak in America. The group is small. The yeshiva world is very small. Lakewood has probably 50 students in Lakewood. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a small group at MTJ. The yeshiva community is very small. Even the modern Orthodox community, the yeshiva university community, is small. Orthodoxy has not yet gone through kind of the explosion that it will experience in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. Orthodoxy is a small, tight-knit group. Why do I make that point? I make that point because Rav Moshe does something that today you may not see as often. And what is that? That's the fact that he's very respectful of what other rabbis do. You know, it's always easy when another rabbi who doesn't do what you want them to do, especially if you're a Moshe Feinstein, it's easy to kind of dismiss those rabbinical views. To say what? That this rabbi doesn't know what he's doing. I'm a Moshe Feinstein, I say it's usur, and therefore this rabbi doesn't know what he's doing. Or these rabbis don't know what they're doing. But Rav Moshe doesn't do that. He seems to be respectful of what the other rabbis do, even though it's not what he would do. Now, that may reflect Moshe Feinstein's personality, but it might also reflect the situation in America. When you're part of a small movement, you got to stick together. The rabbis in New York, or the rabbis in America, in America, 1950, they needed to stick together. Moshe represented all of them. And therefore, if Orthodox rabbis are doing conversions, Rav Moshe can't reject them. Because if you reject them, they're not part of the Orthodox community anymore. You're hurting yourself because Orthodoxy is so small. So that's a very important point also. So the movement from 1928 to 1950, in terms of the move to America, in terms of his attitude to the other Rabbanim, and in terms of generally his understanding of the fact that there are Orthodox rabbis who are doing these conversions. Okay, before we go on, let me just check the chat for a minute. Let's just check the chat. Something about Canadians. Where do these intermarriage numbers come from? Yeah, I mean, for what the American conversions were for marriage versus Protestant conversion, most of them are for marriage. That's a good question. Where the numbers come from is also a fair question because those numbers are not exact. I basically give you the numbers just to give you a feel, right? This is not an article. This is just a class to give you a feel of the fact that intermarriage, you know, before the Second World War is very, very low. Then after the Second World War, it starts climbing gradually. First, Rav Moshe Hardline is a reflection of Jews, non-Jews relationship. We'll answer that question in a couple of minutes. How can the witnesses know what was in the potential convert's heart at the moment that he said he accepted the mitzvahs? Well, you could say that if the convert leaves the mikvah and goes from the mikvah to McDonald's, you could say that probably in their heart, they didn't have, you know, the heart to keep kosher, right? You could say that. Now, I'm not saying that people actually do that. I mean, I don't know if they do or they don't. But don't say you can't know what's in somebody's heart. If the Shabbos after they go to the mikvah, you catch them in a car, so you probably know what was in their heart. Okay. Doesn't Rambam say that if a convert reverts to his idolatry immediately after the conversion, they remain a sitting Jew? Yes. That's all a good question. A convert who turns out not to be Orthodox, but you think at the moment of Orthodoxy that the moment of conversion, they did accept the mitzvos. So whether or not that conversion can be nullified retroactively, that's a discussion for a different time. A fascinating discussion. But a discussion for another time. Again, one minute if there's a question or a comment about these two tshuvos before we go on to the next tshuva.
Yes, I'd like to make a comment.
Yes, Rabbi.
If you knew Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, he was an extraordinary individual. He was a great onov. He never wanted to make waves. You know, he did not have the personality of Rav Soloveitchik. He was very personable. You could talk to him. You could call him on the phone. He would talk to you. He would come to the phone. He would invite you into the house. He was an extraordinary individual. And he saw that his yeshiva, MTJ, was not growing. What was growing? Around the corner, RJJ, Rabbi Jacob Joseph, was growing in leaps and bounds because it was not a Kenyakish yeshiva. And it accepted all kinds of boys. And in RJJ, they respected secular learning. They had the best teachers from Stuyvesant High School. He saw this world changing. He wasn't going to go back to the old ways. He was witness to what was going on in the world. And if he wanted Orthodoxy to thrive and survive, then he had to change his view. And he did in many, many cases he did.
Fantastic. Thank you, Rabbi Silverberg. I mean, that's always fascinating. And okay, so Rav Moshe was the type of personality. I mean, you could say also, Rabbi Silverberg, the fact that he lived on the Lower East Side, which was the center of Orthodox Judaism at that point, not only MTJ Orthodoxy, but all kinds of Orthodoxy from left to right. He knew the reality. And these rabbis who were doing conversions are probably his neighbors. And he respects them. They're part of the, you know, they're part of the Orthodox Rabbis Club. Club in the positive sense of the term. Thank you, Rabbi Silverberg. That is great, as always. Okay, next tshuva. Let's see where he goes. So that the drama continues because where's Moshe going to go? He's against these conversions, but at the same time, he understands that they're happening. So Rabbi Silverberg, are you going to be right or are you going to be wrong? So let's see. Again, 1950. Okay. Malas kvod yedidi harav agon ha-meforsam Rav Chaim Eliezri, Hago, Gona Bezdin, Canton, Ohio. Okay, Canton, Ohio. In 1950, there still were Talmidei Chachamim, who were the rabbis in Canton, Ohio. Now you're going to see a further movement. Rabbi Silverberg, get ready for this. B'divar Hagerus Shahaya Eitzel Rabbi Conservativer. Shelohaya B'Kabbalas Mitzvos Karoi. A conversion that was done by a conservative rabbi that was not done with any Kabbalas HaMitzvos. And the immersion was not in front of a bezdin of men, but rather in front of women. It is clear, right? The conversion is no good. So a kabbalas hamitzvos makev ageirus, because you need acceptance of the mitzvos. V'afilu kibel kol dini haTorah chutz b'davar echad ma'akev, k'disa v'chorus taflam. And if you accept all the laws of the Torah with the exception of one thing, then you're not a Jew. And here in the case, you're not a Jew. V'gam tzarech shetiyah kabbalas hamitzvos b'fnei gimel. U'makev afilu b'diyak. And of course, you need a bezin of men, and that also is no good. So first of all, he says that a conservative conversion is no good. We will come back to that in a minute, but I just want to show you something else. Im kolze, even with all my feeling about the conservative conversion, yesh makom lomar shehu geirus bidiyet. There is room to say that at least bidiyeved, the conversion works. Me'achar she'amra lifnei habezdin shemekabelos mitzvos haTorah. Because she says that she's accepting the mitzvos. This relates to your question about how do you know what's in their heart. The ira gam kazu, and even though this is not the majority of the cases, the ira gam kazu, it sometimes happens, shemekabelas be'emes, that she actually is telling the truth when she says, I accept the mitzvos. Lachein, therefore, ulai danin af be'elu, She'ein shomeres achar kach dinei haTorah shebarur lanu she'af be'eis hagerus lo kibla beliba rak kidvarim shebelief. And since sometimes they're authentic, they're genuine when they accept the mitzvos, even though we see later that they're not religious, we say no, when she converted, when she was at the mikvah, she was genuine in her acceptance. So I'm going to stop here in the middle because I want to explain this. This is fantastic. Ramosha Feinstein says, first of all, he says, that a conservative conversion is not a conversion. There's no Kabbalas HaMitzvos, there are no men, it's not a conversion. But then he says, hey, you know, not so fast. Maybe it is a conversion because, you know, we're so sure that they don't accept the mitzvos. But how can we be so sure? Maybe in their heart they do accept the mitzvos. And the fact that they're not religious afterwards is just kind of the way of the world, the way of their conservative world. But the idea of acceptance of mitzvos, they were genuine when they accepted the mitzvos. So let's take the second thing first. The second thing is that Ramosha Feinstein is trying to find, right, Ray Silverberg? He's trying to find a way to accept these converts, even a conservative convert. He says, you know, they don't accept the mitzvos, but maybe they do accept the mitzvos. Right? How can we be so sure? That was your question in the chat. How can we be so sure? And Ramosha is aware of that. And Ramosha says, maybe we can be so sure. So now I want to tell you something else, Ray Silverberg. There's the Lower East Side. There's the Orthodox. But there's also the conservative. 1950. You know, there was a Jewish sociologist. His name was Marshall Sklar in the 1950s. He wrote that the conservative movement was the future of Judaism in America. He actually referred to it as being American Judaism because the conservative movement spoke to the American Jew who grew up Orthodox, but who wanted to be part of America. We know, of course, that the Protestants had a publicity campaign in the 50s. Billboards all over the place, all over suburban America, that told you what? The family that prays together stays together. And obviously, conservative Judaism was in that line, right? The family that prays together stays together. Number one, the conservative movement after the war began to be a real threat to Orthodoxy. And that is that Orthodoxy is weak, is small, and the conservative movement seems to be on the rise. That's number one. Number two is it's not very much difference between the Orthodox and conservative. Right. You know that long before women, you know, long before they allowed traveling on Shabbos. Right. The difference was really there was no mechitza. The siddur was the same. The davening was the same. Right. And women didn't participate. It was very appealing to many who grew up within the Orthodox community. So Rav Moshe has two things to say about the conservatives. Number one is he says, a conversion by a conservative rabbi is not acceptable. He didn't like the conservative movement, right? That's clear. He didn't like the conservative movement. He didn't say, the conservative movement, they're really Orthodox, right? A lot of the rabbis went to Torah Vadas. No, he doesn't say that, right? He says, I don't accept the conservative conversion. He doesn't distinguish between whether the rabbi is Orthodox, the rabbi is not Orthodox. I don't accept the conversion. But Rav Moshe knows, without saying it, that the conservative movement is really Orthodox. In principle. And therefore, when you talk about Kabbalah Sam Mitzvos, I'm not so sure, says Rav Moshe, that you can say that B'dieved, that the convert is Jewish, because conservative rabbi. And the conservative movement is like Orthodoxy, basically. So who am I to say that she didn't really accept the Mitzvos? Even though usually she doesn't accept the Mitzvos. Usually, a conservative conversion, she doesn't accept the mitzvos. But who are we to say that there's no chance she doesn't accept the mitzvos? So in these two paragraphs, Rav Moshe sets up two things that are going to be critical. Critical in Rav Moshe and critical in American Orthodoxy. One is how they're going to deal with the increased popularity of the conservative movement. And number two is the fact that the conservative movement is not as far from Orthodoxy as you might think. And Rav Moshe Feinstein is willing to entertain the possibility that even a conservative conversion, b'dieved, the conversion would be a good conversion. That's a remarkable. Both those things in this tshuva of Rav Moshe are remarkable. And now we're going to look at another thing that's remarkable in this tshuva. The next paragraph. The next paragraph. V'od yesh makom lomar. And there's another, there's room to say, tam gadol, a real reason, a good, serious reason, that maybe the conversion is good. D'ma shebala shenisgaira bishvilo, hu mechalal Shabbos. You know, this woman converted for her husband. The husband is not religious, right? It's America, 1950. The husband for whom she converted is not religious. The only thing is what? He's Jewish, and therefore he wants her to convert. So he's not Jewish. He's Mechalel Shabbos. Umufkar bekama yisurin. And he's free. He doesn't follow the law. Bekama yisurim osa. Shehi svura she'en chiyuv kol kach lishmor hamitzvos. You know, what's her model for Judaism? Her model for Judaism is not an Orthodox Jew who lives on the Lower East Side. Her model for Judaism is an assimilated husband or boyfriend who doesn't keep Shabbos, who's mufgar bekama isurim, and therefore, she thinks that she doesn't have to keep the mitzvos because she doesn't know any Jews who keep the mitzvos. Shemefurish b'Shabbes daf samaches shehave gerav shadai no ben avodah zara. If you're, it's someone who grows up, it's amazing to say this, but someone who grows up in suburban America in 1950, that grows up, but someone who's with a Jewish partner who is in totally assimilated and not religious at all, that's like ger shenisgayer ben ha'umos, ben ovdei kochavim. And even though they're still worshiping avodah zara, as long as they accept to be Jewish, that's good enough. And he says, maybe that's the situation of this woman. The hatam, and the reason is, mishum shekibel olav lios kechol ha-yehudim, shenechshava kabbalah, av shelo yada klum meha-mitzvos. Because just like the Gemara in Shabbos, why is that good, even though the convert still worships avodah zara? Because they accept to be like all the other Jews, and all the other Jews worship avodah zara. So that's the same thing. He doesn't know anything. You don't have to know mitzvos to convert. You don't have to know the mitzvah of shatnez to convert. Rak bi yada vilo ratza likabel hu ikuv begebus. Amazing. He says, what ruins the conversion? The thing that ruins the conversion is if you know the mitzvos and you don't accept it. If you know that you have to shake lulav and esrog, and you don't say, I will not shake lulav and esrog, I don't like the cold, I will not sit in the sukkah. That's what's problematic. But if you have no idea what sukkah is, we don't hold sukkah against you. This woman who's marrying this man who's Michal Shabbos, who doesn't keep any of the laws, so she's not responsible for any of these things because she doesn't know any of the laws. So Ha'im Tzorich Lelamed Kol HaTorah Kula Kodem Shenizkayer Dirak Mitzvahs Modi. Even the Gemara says that you tell him Mitzvahs Kalos and Mitzvahs Chamuros, that you just tell him a smattering of the law. Delachain, and therefore, therefore, even though the court told her she has to keep Shabbos, choshevas, she thinks, shehu rak hidur ba'alma. So think about it. The Bezdin says to her, she has to keep Shabbos, sorry. Her husband doesn't keep Shabbos. So what, there's a disconnect there. So she figures out, we don't really have to keep Shabbos. My husband doesn't keep Shabbos. It's only a hinder, right? It's only a nice thing to do to keep Shabbos. Aval gam mi she'eino shomer ha-Shabbos v'chadomeh, toe lomar shehu yedhudi kasher, nimtza shelita'usa kibla kol ha-mitzvos she'yehudi michuya. He says that this woman who's told by the Beis Din to keep Shabbos and her husband doesn't keep Shabbos, she thinks that Shabbos is just a hidur. Shabbos is just kind of an extra. But of course, someone who doesn't keep Shabbos is a good Jew because my boyfriend's a good Jew. And therefore, she accepts the mitzvos, but she only accepts the mitzvos in her very narrow world. Her narrow world doesn't understand the importance of Shabbos. But we don't hold that against her. Because if our whole world doesn't understand Shabbos, we can't expect her to be better than the world. Even though Lemaisa, she's not going to keep the mitzvos. But if she accepts to be a Jew within her limited framework, we accept. You can consider her like a giores who limud zchus ksas, and this is also a limud zchus. This is to find, you know, to find merit in the action ksas al harabanim hamekablim shlo yachshvud ol guriyeh mehajotos. And that's what he says. He says again, and this is Rabbi Silverberg's point, and that is, he seems to be concerned about these Orthodox rabbis. These Orthodox rabbis who are doing these conversions. So the first point is the point you made in the chat. And that is that maybe in her heart she accepts the mitzvos. Okay, maybe in her heart she accepts the mitzvos. Who were, basically, I would say point number one is, who are we to say? Right, who are we to say that she doesn't accept the mitzvos? Maybe she does accept the mitzvos. But the second point is actually more sophisticated. The second point is that we know from the Gemara in Shabbos that your acceptance of mitzvos is only from your perspective, from what you know. And therefore, if you live in Lakewood, so your acceptance of mitzvos has to be as per the community in Lakewood. But if your exposure to Judaism is a boyfriend or a husband who's not Orthodox at all, and you live in suburban Long Island, where the people around you don't keep Shabbos, and nobody keeps Shabbos around you, so her framework doesn't have Shabbos. The Beis Din told her that she has to keep Shabbos. When she met with the rabbis, they told her she has to keep Shabbos. So what does she think? That's a hidur ba'alma. That's an extra. That's a bonus. Right? If I'm really going to be good, I'll keep Shabbos. But obviously my boyfriend doesn't keep Shabbos and he's a good Jew. So her framework says I can convert to Judaism. I'm a kabel the mitzvos. I'm a kabel the mitzvos I know. I want to be a Jew like I know Jews to be. And those Jews don't keep the mitzvos. That is really, really interesting. Now, that's a really interesting kind of svara. Now, let's just look at the chat for 1 second. Isn't there a study process with a rabbi before conversion which teaches the potential convert to laws? Yeah, for sure there is. And I don't know what there was in 1950. For sure there were no conversion classes, right? She learned with the rabbi. So the rabbi said, keep Shabbos. Couldn't this woman who's converting think that keeping Shabbos is going to a shul on Saturday? Going to church once a month made someone Christianity. The world she came from, a good Christian. Good. Okay. The story Rav Moshe tells doesn't even seem to be of someone who's going to shul on Saturday morning. But if they go to shul on Saturday morning, for sure that would be the case. Again, 1 minute for comments. Anybody else with a comment?
I just want to make another comment.
Yes, Rory Silverberg.
In my experience with converts over the years, in almost 100% of the cases, the woman who converted wanted to be Jewish and wanted to be Shomrei Mitzvos. The husband was the one who deterred her from doing it.
We're going to talk about that, Rory Silverberg. Thank you. That is the idea. That the non-Jewish partner becomes more committed to Judaism than the Jewish partner.
Absolutely.
Right, that's correct. Okay, we're going to get there. That's all good. Okay? So Rav Moshe Feinstein.
I'd like to know, did Rav Moshe Tendler agree with Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion on this matter?
Rav Moshe Tendler?
Yes.
I have no idea. I have no idea of Rabbi Tendler's view on conversion. It's a fair question. I just don't know the answer. So what do we have? So what I want to look at in the last 12 minutes that we have today, I want to look at, again, an evolution in Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein starts in 1928, in the fall of 1928, quoting his father, absolutely against conversions, but they don't accept the mitzvahs. Comes to America in 1950. He seems to want to try to find space for these conversions. Even though he's against them, but he wants to try to find space for the rabbi, space within his halachic world for the rabbis who are performing these conversions. The first tshuva, he says, you know, who are we to say that they're no good? Maybe we should accept them. Now, the second tshuva from 1950, he again tries in a little more of a sophisticated way to suggest that these people have accepted the mitzvos. So he's clearly grappling with trying to accept the conversions of these rabbis. But now he introduced a different issue. And that is the conservative movement. And I want to finish today by looking at a tshuva about conversion within the conservative movement. Here you see, he was kind of open, right? He said, maybe we could accept the conversion. Maybe there's room even from the conservative rabbi to accept the conversion. But now we move, And this is a big move. 1976, right? By 1976, the conversion rate is in the 30%. The conservative movement is really at a high point. Now, it is true that by 1976, the conservative movement had allowed driving on Shabbos. The conservative movement was just beginning to deal with the women's issue. But so the conservative movement is powerful. Orthodoxy is just beginning its explosion. Tesva v'adar ha'sheni tafshin lamed vav. Ma'alas bod yedidia rav agon shmuel mishkin. Harav de Costa Rica. Okay. Hine b'dvar ha'isha. Concerning this woman, the rabbi from Costa Rica asks the following question about this woman. Shenise Seitzel conservativi rabbi, who got married, a conservative rabbi married her, but Houston. Asher yodua l'machal Shabbos b'farhesia. This conservative rabbi is known as the Machal Shabbos b'farhesia. In the Tshuva 1950, he talked about a conservative rabbi that maybe his conversions are acceptable. Here, he talks about a conservative rabbi who's Yadua L'Machal Shabbos B'Farhes. Lebachur Shenolad B'San Salvador L'Ishanachs. To a young man who was born in San Salvador to a non-Jewish mother. The rabbi conservativi D'Sham Amar Shigiroso. And the conservative rabbi from San Salvador said he converted him. B'Tziruv Shnei Anashim Misham. Asher Hei Machal Shabbos B'Farhes. And the two other members of the Beis Din, Machal Shabbos b'Farhesia. The Amar Rab, but the conservative rabbi said, Kishom Shabbos lo nimtzu klal b'Salvador. Right? But he said that, I couldn't find any Shomer Shabbos people in San Salvador. So what do you have? A Jewish woman marries a man whose mother is not Jewish. He was converted by a conservative rabbi together with two Machal Shabbos. And this woman is married by a conservative rabbi in Houston. The question is, if the marriage dissolves, does she need a get from the first husband? The Amar Harav Kishom Re Shabbos Lo Nimtzu Klal B'Salvador says, right? Pashut Shein HaGerus Klum. The Gerus is nothing. Umemela Afim Hayu Anesuim Eitzel Rav Kashir. Kedin, nami lohayu klum. Even if they got married by an Orthodox rabbi, it still would be no good. Mipneishu nachri gomer shekidusha tovsim. He's a goy. He's a non-Jew. So obviously the wedding is no good. She doesn't need a get. Ve'afim haya nasa gerei tobezdin shomer Torah. Says even if he becomes a ger with a bezdin that are shomer Torah, mikemin shlohaya afsha akash shomer mitzvos haTorah harei lokibo mitzvos klal sheno gerus. He says, but the gerus is no good. Even if he goes before an Orthodox bezdin, we see he's not Orthodox. Akim haya ger kedin o shahaya Yisrael mamish harei akidush if they rab conservativity shechezkasan shehim kofrim biikare haemuna afkishlo yadua hagavra mamish. He says, even if the conversion is good, but the marriage is no good because the conservative rabbi officiated. This rabbi is known to be a Machal Shabbos. Shein Kiddushin, it's the Kiddushin or not Kiddushin. Vim Kain, Yeshlanu Shnei Dvarim Berurim Shein Lachush La Kiddushin. There are two reasons not to accept the Kiddushin. One is because the Gerus is no good. And the second is because the conservative rabbi who did the Kiddushin is no good, who married them is no good. Lachein muteres li nase l'ish acher. Therefore, she can marry someone else without a get. Avalola Cohen, mipnei shenivala l'nachri sheposlo min akuhuna. Ah, but now she's in trouble because it turns out now she slept with a non-Jew, right? It's one thing if he had been Jewish, she can marry. Well, if she had been married to a Jew and they had been matkia the kiddushin, they said that the first marriage was not a marriage, then she could marry a kohen. But since it turns out that the guy she was married to was not Jewish, and a woman is not allowed to marry a Kohen if she's Nivala Lenachri, if she slept with non-Jews, because she's considered to be a Zona, so therefore she's not allowed, Shepsula Minakahuna, she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. Now this tshuva is interesting for a whole bunch of reasons. 1976. In 1950, Ramosha Feinstein didn't accept the conversion of a conservative rabbi, but he was willing to entertain the possibility that maybe it was okay. He wasn't critical of the conservative rabbi. They just said he was conservative. By 1976, the conservative rabbi is Michal Shabbos. The conservative rabbi in San Salvador is no good. And basically, he allows a woman to remarry without a get. I want to tell you something. If Ramosha Feinstein thought that there was any reason that the wedding was a good wedding, Ramosha Feinstein would not have allowed the woman to marry without a get, right? You need a get even if there's a suffix, even if there's an uncertainty. If Ramosha Feinstein allowed the woman to marry without a get, means Ramosha Feinstein thought that the marriage was nothing. Because Ramosha Feinstein's feeling, his feeling about conversion stays the same. Ramosha Feinstein still doesn't like conversion that is done without Kabbalah HaMitzvot, without acceptance of the mitzvot. But there's no tzad lahakel here. There's no possibility that maybe it's a good conversion. Why is that? Because more than Ramosha Feinstein is suspicious of conversions where you don't accept the mitzvot, Ramosha Feinstein is more suspicious of the conservative rabbis. By 1976, Ramosha Feinstein has rejected the conservative movement completely. There's no side, there's no angle to say that maybe the conversions are okay. Maybe she accepted the mitzvot. Maybe she did as well as she was going to do considering her perspective or situation. By 1970, that was 1950. That was the beginning of the conservative movement and the way we know it. Ramosha Feinstein knew the conservative rabbis were basically Orthodox rabbis. By 1976, that wasn't so. And therefore, what changes in addition to Ramosha Feinstein when he came to America, entertaining the possibility that maybe these conversions are good conversions, even though they don't accept the mitzvot, is his dismissal of the conservative movement. That's its own topic, but that's an important piece here. And if you look at the tshuvos in Igros Moshe, we only looked at a selection, you'll see that many of the tshuvos are around the conservative movement, that it was conservative giyur that was a problem. In summary, as we go through the middle of the 20th century, we see that Ramosha Feinstein takes a more rigid stand personally, but Ramosha Feinstein understands that these conversions of people who are not shomrei mitzvot, who do not accept the commandments, are being done by Orthodox rabbis. And Ramosha Feinstein looks to find a reason to accept these conversions. That is super interesting, because that basically gets us almost to our generation. Next week, we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to tell you the story of the Denver Beis Din. 1979 to 1983-84, their attempt to create a Beis Din of Orthodox, conservative, and reform together. And the reaction of the rabbis, and we're going to learn where deal is to learn tshuvos. We're going to learn a tshuva about that as well. It's really going to be remarkable. So I look forward to have a great week, everybody. And I look forward to seeing everybody next Tuesday. Be well. Bye-bye.
Thank you.